this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
My name is Chris too. For those who haven't had the privilege to meet you guys yet, and I work with the church here in Shofar Pretoria, and it's really great just to do that. It's really awesome. It's such a blessing and a privilege to do it. So before we kick off with the word, let's just all bow our heads and pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, which is truth, which reveals, Lord, who you are to us, God. And I pray, Lord, that tonight, that as we read your word, Father God, and as you talk through me, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself. And Lord, I just bring myself before you, Lord, this afternoon, Father God. Guide every single word that departs from my mouth, Father God. Let it bring life, Father God. Let it bring edification. And let it reveal who you are tonight, Father God. All glory to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Can everyone hear me clearly? That is great. Before we start off, I've got a short testimony clip video thing I want to share with you guys. And I don't know if anyone of you listens to Korn, kind of a band. I don't know if anyone knows them. But this guy shares his testimony. He's a lead guitarist for Korn. His name is Head or Brian Welch. So let's just take a couple of moments and look at him, and then we'll take it from there. In a very similar way, I didn't know how to relate, you know, with God, how to speak to God, how to accept God, how to talk to Him, how to listen to Him, all of those things. And it was really, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to do. Is it like all in your head? Is it all in your imagination? Is the Bible, is it even real? And not too long ago, I struggled with all of these things for a long time. Since I've grown up, my parents dragged me to church. I've been in church my whole life, but I've never encountered Jesus, you know, as I heard people talking about Him and stuff like that. And when I was 15 years old, you know, things started to change in my life, and I had that encounter with God where it was just this amazing, not a feeling, this amazing meeting with Him, where He just revealed Himself to me, and He called me to a bunch of stuff, and to get baptized, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and all those things. But straight, not long afterwards, I just went back into my lifestyle, into my ways that I've been, and in a sense, even worse than what I was before I had this real meeting with God. And so after meeting Him, things, to make a long story short, things just got bad in my life, and I ended up in hospital for a long time. But that caused me to, after a couple of months, to meet Jesus again. He was right with me in the hospital, and we had this very, very real conversation with one another. And at that stage, where I was very, very sick for 2-3 months in the hospital. Nothing left of me physically, emotionally, definitely not spiritually. And I was just like, Lord, there's absolutely nothing here. God, I can't offer you anything. How can you want anything from me? Because there is nothing, Lord. I'm just a big screw up. Because in that time, I've prayed for more than 2 months, just every day, for God to take my life. So there's nothing left. And in that moment, I reached out to God. And just in an instant, Jesus was there, and He led me to repent of a couple of things. But the great thing for me, and the most amazing thing for me in that moment, was that a person that I were, you know, Brian, as he testified of, you know, just what a rubbish, you know, he was as well, just snorting drugs and doing all these things of his goal and not being, you know, all that stuff. How God accepted him in the same way God just accepted me. Not for anything that I've done or anything that I've done to deserve His acceptance. He just accepted me because He loves me as His son. And tonight I just want to start off with that is I didn't and I couldn't and I will never be able to do anything to deserve God's acceptance. And the reality is that neither will any one of you be able to do anything to deserve God's goodness or acceptance, no matter how cute a smile you have or how clever you are. But God accepts us because He loves us and He loved us first. And the great thing for me was the very moment when I reached out to God in that hospital room, He was there in an instant to meet with me. And that just caused me to realize that, you know what, I needed to be set free, you know, from a bunch of bondage, from myself, from all these things and influences in my life, that after I had that encounter with Jesus in the hospital room, I've been set free from a bunch of stuff. And that was like, yes, Lord, I didn't even realize that I needed to be set free. And God just accepted me right there. And I think, I don't know most of your situations, but I believe we don't struggle with the thought that God needs to accept us, but we struggle to accept Jesus into our lives. We have this thing that we need to sort ourselves out in order for God to come and be with us. And you know, I've been walking a road with God now for 11 years, 10 years, 11 years. And you know what? I will never be sorted out. That's one of the revelations that I've received. I will never be sorted out. Even the Word of God tells us, you know, you will only be made perfect the day when Jesus comes again. And He hasn't come again. He will come again. But God just wants us to reach out to Him because He accepts us just the way that we are. So I want to encourage you, just before I want to read a portion of Scripture to us, is I think one of the bigger things we struggle with is we struggle to accept Jesus than knowing that He will just accept us. I want us to read together out of John 8 from verse 31. And it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will follow the truth, and the truth will set you free.' And they answered Him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever.'" And as we read that and as we spend some time in Scripture, we become slaves to the things we follow. It's all over Scripture. So if we sin, we are a slave to sin. If we are unrighteous, we're a slave to unrighteousness. And then Jesus said that He came to set us free from that, so that we, in a sense, can be a slave to righteousness, a slave to Him, because we follow Him. But I want to go even further than that. And Scripture goes further than that as well. We just read that it says that Jesus, you know, He sets us free. Just as I experienced it in that hospital room, the Scripture says as well, the truth will set you free. As we read the word is truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't know if you know, it's a very famous Scripture. Jesus Himself said that I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So truth is not a knowledge thing. Truth is a person. So if we know Jesus, who is truth, He sets us free. So we can never ever be free in this life or the life you're after if we do not know the truth, if we do not know Jesus. And I don't believe that I am worthy, you know, to know God even, but for Him to know me and to be a son of God, to be a slave to God, to follow Him, to know Him. But it's by His grace that He just gives Himself freely to us. We are not worthy of God, but He gave Himself to us so that we can know Him and know Him truly. And tonight, God just laid on my heart to speak about, you know, what does it look like for us to be children of God? What does it look like when we are free, when we have been set free? What is the picture? What is the fine print on the contract? What is the requirement of us when we say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord, I accept you into my life? What is it now actually that, you know, what does God want from us? You know, because it sounds too good to be true, you know, for us to just accept him and everything will be great and easy from there. So what does it look like when we become children of God, when Jesus sets us free? What should our lives look like? Galatians 4 from verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So God says that through Jesus, through the Spirit of Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit, he's placed something inside of us that cries out, Abba, Father. And if you don't know what that means, it's just like we cry out, Daddy, you know, to God. God is, as he is our Father, as he is the King of Kings, he's our Daddy. And God has placed inside of us this desire, this yearning, this longing to know him in such a way that we can call him Daddy. And there's many cultures in this world which has its good points and bad points. But I think it's the American culture where I think the boys call their dad sir. You know, like, hi, sir, you know, this and this and this. And, you know, I think there's some merit in it. Feels a bit militarized to me. But God is not like, listen, I need you to call me sir because, you know what, I'm a sir. You know, you need to bow down and respect me. God has placed a thing inside of us that yearns just to cry out. Say, Daddy, Lord, Daddy. I want you, I need you, I can't do anything without you. And then God says that through this, we are his sons. When he's placed this thing inside of us, that we are his sons, we are his daughters. God doesn't call us to be his slaves, to work and to receive alone. We are his sons, and you know, I don't know about you, but when I walk into my mother's house, one of the very first things I do is I open the fridge. It's awesome. And I just look at everything and I start eating and drinking. But sometimes I just look at it and I'm like, yes, you know what? I have every single right to walk into this house, open the fridge, and I can just eat everything and I would just be loved more for it. You know, that's amazing. I can go into the garage, take her car and drive wherever I want to go. I can do pretty much anything when I walk into the house. And God gives us the same access. He's like, listen, you are my sons, you are my daughters. I've placed my spirit inside of you who cries out, Daddy, who cries out, Abba, Father. And not only does God give us that full access to him, to his house, to his throne room, he says, but listen, not only are you a son, but you are an heir as well. So apart from having this really cool fridge, you get a bunch of stuff as an inheritance as well from God. And you know, that excites me. Quite a bit. You all look very excited as well. Hallelujah. But I'm sure that we all can relate, as you are sitting there, we can all relate that there is this yearning inside of us. And perhaps you've never identified it as this yearning to God, but there's this yearning to be accepted, to be loved. And we see it in the world, we see it just through a bunch of cultures and generations, and especially, you know, students, but not only that, because it just continues, but people go out and they party and they do all these things because they're actually just wanting to be accepted where they go. They want to have friends, they want to have this, they want to achieve all of this, not because it's a heart's desire per se, but they just want to be accepted. They've got this longing inside of them to do all these things, to do all these works, to look and to sound a certain way, to be accepted. And there's nothing wrong with that desire at all. Just as with the majority, there's nothing wrong with the desire to have sex. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it because God just as God placed that desire inside of us, He placed a desire inside of us to be accepted. But as the only right way to, you know, to have sex and to do worship unto God in that way is in covenant, is in marriage. Just the same way, the only way we can be accepted, receive the full acceptance, where we actually say, listen, now I don't need anything else ever, is also in covenant, is also with God. And how do we enter into covenant with God? It's just by accepting His Son, Jesus. Because He bled and He died for us. He was the sacrifice for us. So what is this fine print of this contract? I believe, you know, we understand contracts. That's the way we function. We need to, before we rent somewhere, before we go into business, whatever, we sign contracts with people. I think generally we sign contracts because there's a lack of trust. You know, you would agree with me, you know, to stipulate everything, and this is what you need to do if you overstep your boundaries or do not follow everything step by step, and this is what I need to do. And then we all sign there, and then we have a contract. The same way we have made a contract to go into marriage. You know, God has never said anything of in that line. He, for God, what is important is covenant and is relationship. So first of all, there's no fine print to any contract when it comes to God and when we accept God. The only thing that happens after we accept Jesus into our lives is there's a relationship that starts to form. So no contract involved. We will not get sued if we do not stop sinning within 24 hours or anything in that sort of line. But there's a relationship that starts to form. And the only fine print of that relationship is if we keep on drawing closer to God, we automatically start changing. You're like, how does that happen? The reason we automatically start changing is as we draw closer to God, I guarantee you, we fall more in love with God. We fall more in love with who He is. We are more amazed to how much He loves us. We are more amazed at what the cross actually meant. We are more amazed at how freely God has given absolutely everything, His fridge, His inheritance. God has given us everything. And all He wants in return is for us to just to accept. Just say, Lord, yes, be my Father. And as we draw close and as we know our Father, that automatically changes us. And as we follow Christ, you know, all of us, all of you are here tonight. Perhaps someone dragged you, perhaps someone texted you, perhaps you came out of your own accord. But you know what? At the end of the line, if you've been here for a while or you are here for your first time, you are here because God is drawing you closer to Him. The only reason we can be drawn to God is through His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, you know, He's inside of every single one of us and He's drawing us closer to God. You know what? In Acts, there we read about what the early church did. And there we read that the Holy Spirit was poured out onto all flesh. So the Holy Spirit was poured out onto every single one of you. And He's busy setting up meetings with our Father, our Heavenly Father, every single day in various different forms. And He's just waiting for us just to accept Him, to accept our Father. We don't have to do anything of the sort to sort out our life and then attend church and then get saved. There are multiple meetings being set up all around us where we just need to say, listen, I am dirty. Lord, I am a sinner. I know. I realize it now. I actually suck, Lord. Lord, I actually don't deserve You. But no, but above, behind this, Lord, how I feel, who I am, I choose You today. Because You are the only answer. Lord, I've tried everything else, but You are the answer today. And that is the moment. That is what God is waiting for. He's in this place. He's in your life. He's in every decision. He's monitoring everything you do. Just waiting for you to accept Him and say, yes, Lord. Maybe You are my 37th option, but Lord, I'm choosing You today. And that is great, because that is what God is just waiting for. He's not waiting for you to sort out yourself. Not at all. God accepts us just the way we are. And He's just waiting for us to lean into Him, to lean away from the other things. So what does this look like if we have made the decision, to accept the call of our Father, when we accept His love, when we accept His Lordship, when we accept the cross? What does that require of us? And I'm going to go back to Brian, and in his, as he shared his testimony, so he was playing for Korn, he was a lead guitarist, and in an instant, you know, he got rid of all the drugs, his addictions, everything. In an instant, God just released him from all of that. And at that stage, God, he left Korn, right? That's what he said in the testimony. But at this very stage, guess what Brian is doing? He's playing for Korn. God led him right back into Korn to keep on playing. His friend that is also playing the band, I think his name is Fieldy, he also got saved. It's an amazing testimony. He also got saved. So now Brian and Fieldy, they are still playing in Korn. But you're like, what? Yes, how can they play for Korn? Because they're like, do all this stuff and it's heavy metal and blah, blah. Yes, I don't like heavy metal either. There's nothing wrong with heavy metal. But God led them back to playing Korn. Why? And Jesus said that He calls to preserve us in this world. So what does that mean? How can we not fix? How do we get preserved? You know, how does this thing work? If God wanted us out of this world, out of the darkness, you know what would have happened? The very moment we said, yes, Jesus, I accept you, we would have just been zapped and poof, we would have been placed into heaven. I'm sure that is what we want. I'm sure that is what God wants. He just wants us close with Him. But you know what? God has created us to be the light and the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Do we need light when, you know, the sun is shining outside? Do we need a light to be put on somewhere? No, right? Like, you're like, duh, yes, of course, no. There's only a need for light when there's darkness. So what does God call us for? He calls us to be the light in the darkness. So God calls you, as soon as you get saved, not to pack your bags and to go to a different place, to where all the saints are gathered, and to move into the church office, and to move to the church building, to just to sit there and sing Kumbaya all day long. God calls you just to be exactly where you are, because you are a student, you are working where you are doing what you do, because God has placed you there anyway, right? So God calls you just to change your motive, to change your reason for why you are there. Instead of just working this company to make as much money as you can, you are called there to be the light and the salt in the company. You are there to be the example. You are there to be Christ in that building. And go back to Brian again. So God called him to join Korn again. So they're playing. But you know what they do? They still have, as he said, you know, their shows have just grown as well. They have thousands upon thousands of people that come and listen to their shows. So what they do as the people are walking into the building, as they start to enter the arena where they will now sing together, they pray, like, for almost for everyone as they come in. People get saved, people get healed from various different things. So whoever thought that, hey man, let's go to a Korn concert, cool, okay, and then you get saved at the Korn concert. I don't think anyone ever goes to the concert to get saved or healed or meet Jesus, right? And that is the point. Exactly. No one would have ever gotten saved or healed or have met Jesus at a Korn concert if Brian decided just to leave Korn and to stay away and to become a pastor. Nothing wrong with being a pastor. But there's something wrong when you abandon the call that God has on your life. And for Brian, and I believe with every single one of us as we get saved, God calls us just to remain in our environment He has already placed us in, but just to change the reason for why we are there. So yes, they still play. I think he's a very talented guitarist. It's not my style. So he still does all of those things. But now he just does it for the glory of God. Before shows, after shows, they pray, and thousands of people have already received salvation by going to a Korn concert. And I believe the church should be full of testimonies like this. The church should be full, like, Hello, my name is there Pity here tonight? Hello, my name is Pity. I went to the dentist this week and I got saved. And I'm in church tonight. Praise the Lord. Hello, is there Chris? Hello, my name is Chris. I went to Hatfield Square on Friday night just to get drunk and puke my lungs out. But you know what? I was sitting at the bar drinking a beer with another guy that he goes to church and he drinks beer as well. Crazy! And I met Jesus and I got saved. Praise the Lord, now I'm here. And he swears while he tells his testimony. Great! I think that is totally amazing. I think the church needs to be filled with people that swears while giving their testimony, right? Do you agree with me? Do you think this is heresy? That would be amazing. I went to the dentist, I went to the bar, I went to play golf. And I met Jesus because of a Christian that works there. And I believe that is what it should look like when we accept the call from Christ. When we just say, Lord, okay, yes, I don't deserve you, Lord. But you love me, Lord. I can't deny your love anymore. And we accept this call. We have no clue how this works or what to do. But God just says, you know what, just remain exactly where you are. But just do whatever you do. Just study. Just write your exam. Just speak to your lecturer. Speak to your CEO. Just do all of those things for the glory of me. And I will change your atmosphere. I will change your circumstances. We're going to see CEOs. We're going to see party animals. We're going to see people with rotten teeth. All of those type of people coming into church when we stand into the positions God has given us. Right? You agree with me? So the great thing, you know, not every one of us, we are called to be pastors. And you should all say hallelujah. Because we're all called for the things that we love to do as well. I'm sure you're a dentist because you love dentistry. I'm sure you're studying engineering because you would love just to build a bridge, right? I actually love that. So God is just going to use that above for building an awesome bridge. You're going to, firstly, God is going to give you an amazing design for the bridge. But above and beyond that, He's going to have construction workers all around you come to Christ. If you are just willing to stand for God and not stand for your own gain. So this very similar way as Brian went right back into corn. That's very same way we need to enter into our places of work and study. Whatever it is we do, change the atmosphere for Christ. I think one of the, this is a personal thing that I feel as well, I think one of the best jobs there are out there is a teacher. I'm waiting for testimonies of just hundreds of kids coming to church because the teacher just, you know, caused Jesus to meet every single kid. I think that's amazing. That's the best education you can give them, right? Jesus. Same with CEOs. Same with whoever we are and wherever we are. Romans 6, from verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So it's not our faith that has saved us. It is by grace we have been saved. God just, He looked at all of us, He's like, yes, you're just a bunch of sinners. But He chose to save all of us anyway. And Ben, can you guys please come to the front? So amidst our sin, amidst our rubbish, amidst the many times we fail God in a sense, He just looked at us and He says, listen, I accept you still for who you are. And I believe and I know that tonight or this afternoon, there are some of us in this building and we don't quite yet understand or walk, if you want to call it walk in this thing of being a child of God. We perhaps have given our lives to Him. That was a great first step to do. But we don't understand this thing, this Abba Father thing. You know, you don't have the courage to go and open the fridge. You don't have the courage to walk to God and say, Lord, I'm your son, God. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are, Lord, and that makes me your son. And that makes me an heir, and that gives you the access just to be Christ on this earth. And that is quite a difficult thing to understand, but that's the beauty of it all. We don't need to understand it at all. I believe this is a thing that is like, you know, praying your tongues. I have no cooking clue what I'm saying. But I can see the fruit of it. I can feel the strength of it. I can see the physical change around you when you do it. In the same way, you should just start walking and believing and knowing that you are a son and a daughter of God. You will see the fruit. You will see the change. You will feel the strengthening. And you will see the physical environments around you change as you grasp that, as you understand it. God's love is unconditional. It really is unconditional. No contracts involved. Just relationship. Relationships are scary. It means we need to be open, and the deeper we want to go into relationship with someone, you know, the more you need to share with that person and give yourself of that person. And I can just see it personally. Millie and I were getting married. I'm a really private type of person. I don't even like people that much, you know, no offense to all of you. So it was a thing for me to deal with, to work through that. Listen, I actually need to share what I'm thinking right now. Like, I don't want to, but I need to. I know it irritated her many times. But as I grow in that, our relationship strengthens. And it is exactly the same with God. Except God is not hoarding anything back. He's already given everything. He gave us His Son. He was so vulnerable. He was naked. He was bleeding. Arms open wide. I don't think you can get any more vulnerable than that. He did that for all of us. But we are just so holding back. We're like, Lord, I don't want to stop this. I don't want to do this. Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I don't understand. We've got all these excuses. We've got all this stuff. We've got all our issues. And as long as we think that way or believe that way, we will never know God. We will never enter into relationship with Him, because we are waiting for some kind of sign or miracle that He is alive. He gave it. God gave us His Son. If you don't believe the Holy Bible, just look into history, man. History has proven that Jesus was alive, that Jesus is risen from the dead. The Holy Bible is the book that you can actually believe above any other book. But we just have all of these reasons not to know God. And it's not like we didn't make the conscious decision not to know Him. We're just so afraid and we're full of nonsense. With all of respect said, I've been there. I know all the excuses I've made. But I know that God tonight, He wants to know us. He wants you just to say, Lord, I choose you, God.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.
there is.